Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wolves Fancast series, Stories from the Pack. As I do on every episode, just a quick thank you to everybody who continues to support us. We've got loads of content out there at the moment, including this series. We've recently launched our YouTube channel as well, so there's loads of stuff on there. We've got Gully's Tactical Analysis, Fancast GTA. We've got Dan, where he meets an opposition fan as a game of FIFA. And we've got the reaction podcasts, as well as getting views from all fans across social media after the game as well. So keep following us, keep subscribing, and we really appreciate your support. Onto this episode in hand and this series. We're on to series two now. On this episode, I reached out to the next guest because I mentioned social media, and he's someone that I follow on social media, and a lot of Wolves fans probably do as well. So I really appreciate his views. And I just wanted to get his story, really, into the fact we haven't met before, but it was just a nice opportunity to hear his story. So I'm grateful for his time today. And that is Jason Jeffries. Jason, how are you doing?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I'm pretty good, thank you.
Good stuff. We're just recording this just a few days after the Arsenal game. So Just to kind of put a timestamp on things, I think an hour or so before record, we heard some great news regarding Jimenez. Just to touch on the Arsenal game, how did you see the game yourself, Jason, on the weekend?
Yeah, just watched it at home. It was a strange one. With what happened in the first 3 minutes, it didn't really feel like the game was that important. It was great the way they responded and got the result, but it didn't really even feel like a win on Sunday night after the game, you know. But very, very proud of the team for the way they reacted.
It was strange. I think, you know, I've spoken to a few people and I think people relate listening to it. It's weird anyway, as we know, because, you know, there's no fans. So it's a strange thing. But I think we're kind of, I don't know, I think about yourself, but we're kind of, we're used to it now. But that just kind of added an extra significance that you've got an empty stadium and then you've got such a serious incident. And, you know, we all heard the sound and you could see straight away how it was. And as I say, it's great to know that he's doing well. But as you say, just in the context of a psychological aspect for the players, that, you know, how they sort of rallied round was brilliant, and credit to them. And I mean, it was, you know, we talked about the lineup, I think, and a lot of people would have done beforehand. And, you know, whether or not he'd go for those four up top. And, you know, in fairness to him, he went for it. And Moutinho as well, I think a mention for him. I don't know how you see things with Moutinho. He's had I wouldn't say flack because he deserves so much respect, but he's probably been out of form. But another fantastic game, I think.
Yeah, he looked back to his best, I thought. He has been a bit, you know, flat. Maybe it's the lack of pre-season this season. He hasn't been up to his usual high standards. But on, I thought he was good against Southampton as well, to be fair. But he was very good on Sunday, which was great to see.
Brilliant. So that's kind of where we're at now with Curran. And I'm speaking to yourself. You're based in Bristol. I think you're in the same boat as we are in the Midlands, as kind of coming out of lockdown and into tier three. Yeah. So how's things for yourself generally at the moment?
Yeah, it's fine really. I mean, I'm at work. I work in retail, so I'm very, very busy. And with the Christmas coming up, it's in work, it doesn't, apart from the restrictions and stuff and the distancing, it doesn't really feel any different to a normal December. Very busy, but that has made it go very quick for me. So I think I'm glad that I have been working.
I think that's the thing, isn't it, mate? I think, you know, I think what we're all conscious of is being kept busy and kind of just like you say, the normality, and as you say, being in that sort of industry as well, it's good to kind of keep ticking over. And I think I get a bit like that when I go to work. I work in an office environment, and other than the obvious masks and distancing, you kind of come out and that's your job done. And it's only kind of when you have a moment where you realise that actually this isn't, you know. Well, it's such a cliche thing to say about the new normal, but it still feels weird. And for yourself, from as a football perspective as well, I know you're someone that has been to a lot of the games over the years. How have you sort of found that, you know, post lockdown and since sort of Europe last year?
I mean, it's different. Yeah, it's so strange watching with no crowds and stuff. But I do go to almost every game, so I'm not used to staying home watching it on TV. But with the when lockdown started, I was so bored and I was so happy when football did come back. You know, and there's games on every night. I don't just obviously support footballs, but I watch pretty much anything that's on every night. I'm watching football, so yeah, really I don't watch much TV, so it really helped pass the time. You know, when it did come back.
Brilliant, and that's sort of the current. But regular listeners of the show will know that we're pretty much nostalgic on this. We've got to touch on the current because it's so bloody good. And when we do go on the back, we realise that it's not always been that case as a Wolves fan. Yeah. So, if you can, Jason, just take me back in terms of your first memories and when was your sort of first either first experience at Molineux or your first recollections of being a fan.
Yeah, it was strange. I didn't get into football till I was about probably 6 or 7. I mean, I'm still quite young, but I didn't like at school. All my friends liked football, and I wasn't really into it. And then I think my granddad got me into it. Really, my granddad was a big Bristol Rovers fan, and my first game was actually at Wembley watching Bristol Rovers in the playoff final against Huddersfield, which they lost. Wow. And that was in '95. Interesting thing about that actually was. The managers was John Ward against Neil Warnock, which was obviously John Ward was assistant when we beat Warnock at Cardiff 2003. So yeah, got my little bit of revenge on that day. But yeah, that was my first game. And then my first Wolves game was the same year. It was the start of the 95-96 season, I think. I would have been 9, I believe, at that time. Eight, I think. So yeah, we were home to Grimsby. I remember I went up with my mum, dad, and my brother, and we turned up without tickets and went in the ticket office. And I think they didn't want to sell us them because we weren't members and nothing. And it was after they said we had to buy them before midday, but we kind of argued the case, and they did let us. They did give us 4 tickets in the back of the Billy Wright. But I remember being like amazed by when I saw the stadium, even though like I'd been to Wembley, but it was seeing the Billy Wright stand. It was so much nicer than anything any other football stadium I'd seen. You know, I'd have my photo with the Billy Wright statue, and I got my first Wolves shirt that day as well, which was the Goodyear one with the nutmeg.
Yes.
Yeah, which was my favorite one. My favorite one probably because it was my first. But yeah, and we won the game 4-1. Steve Ball scored 2, Don Goodman scored 2. I don't remember too much about it the day, but I do remember that. And I remember my brother asking if we won at the end as well.
So, paying attention.
We won 4-1. But actually, because at the time, I didn't really know any of the players. I just knew Steve Ball, really. And so I was like, well chuffed that he managed to get 2 goals as well. That was great. And yeah, it was apparently my first words were Steve Ball, my mum said. Yeah. Yeah, apparently. They always used to say it to me, and apparently it was the first thing I said, but whether that's true or not, I don't know.
Yeah, that might need to be verified, but yeah, it's like, yeah, that was his first name. We'll go with that for a bit of credibility. Yeah. So you mentioned your grandfather, was that the family connection then in terms of Wolves? Is that kind of where it all...
No, so my mum supports Wolves because she's a Slade fan.
Okay.
And that's basically it, I think. Like when she was a kid, she just wanted to support someone different to everyone else. And also, like, because the colour of her kit was different to everyone else's as well, and Slade were from Wolverhampton, and she just, my mum just decided to support Wolves, and that's where it come from. Look, my granddad, obviously, Bristol Rovers didn't used to play in Bristol when I was a kid. They used to play in Bath, at Twerton Park. So I didn't ever go to a game there. So yeah, apart from when I went to Wembley, it was mostly going to watch Wolves. I didn't go that much when I was young, though. I went in '95, and I think the next time probably wasn't until about 2001. And we went a couple of times in the early noughties, but only a few. I can't even remember. Like, I can remember my first game. I can't remember the other couple I went to. I think one was against Blackburn, maybe one was against Watford, but I can't even remember the score or anything like that.
But yeah. See, so it was kind of, as you say, so it was first impressions. And as you say, you'd think in one sense you'd been spoilt being at Wembley. But I guess there's just something different about a home ground, isn't it, really? And I guess it's probably that, you know, there was probably a level of expectation sort of building up to it as well. And, I know I've said this before, and we are biased, but there is something about Molineux, and I think, you know, it always sort of holds a special place. And then, so for yourself, in terms of then, it was sort of later years you became more of a regular, I guess, in terms of the games.
Yeah, so when, I think, it was when Mick McCarthy took over, under Hoddle, like, it was dull, wasn't it? Like, I went a couple of times, but it was dull. And then under McCarthy, one big thing was I learnt to drive. So when I passed my driving test, it was much easier for me to get to games. So that was the summer before Mick McCarthy took over. And then I had an NUS card, and it was like you turn up and pay £14 on the gate with your student card. And it was back in Steve Ball. So I did that. I did that for 3 years, just with my student card. And then when we won promotion, I thought I better get a season ticket now, because it might not be so easy to turn up and buy tickets. So yeah. So then I moved to the South Bank, got a season ticket in S3, and I've been there since. So I think it's my, well, obviously I haven't got a season ticket this season, but I think it would have been my 11th season, maybe 12th this year. Yeah.
So you kind of came in then, as you say, that the Hoddle experience was forgettable for some of us. And I even remember, I'm sure, it was a night game, I think his first game, and he was announced on the pitch. Me and my dad were sort of a bit late, as we normally were, trying to get to squeeze that last drink in, because we really needed that at 10 to whatever age it was. Yeah. And it was like, there was just no fanfare at all. And, you know, a guy who, was amazing standing in the game as a player, and perhaps a little bit maligned from England, but then others will probably take a different view on that and say he was quite successful. But it never felt like a match, did it, Hoddle? I don't know what, you hear stuff now, and I'm sure you've heard the same, where people tell you how amazing he was as a coach, which is believable because of his ability as a player, and there's an argument that he was too good for the players that he had at his disposal, maybe, I don't know.
I have heard that. He used to be the best in training and all that, I think we were linked with Harry Redknapp at the time as well, weren't we? And
yes.
I think. Well, I mean, I don't know. The strange thing for me was I didn't know anyone else who supported Wolves when I was a kid. So I don't, like, you know, it was until social media come in, I used to just go by myself, and, you know, didn't know anyone, and I didn't have no one to talk Wolves with, you know. So, yeah, it was. But I mean, I was excited when he took over, but it was just 1-1 every game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You were on a massive unbeaten run, but it was just 1-1 every week.
it was it Carr caught on the wing, and then it was Mark Kennedy.
Yeah.
It was strange. But just to touch on that, Jason, because that's, you know, in terms of your story and sort of being based in Bristol, because I find that quite interesting. So, yeah, so I guess with people coming in the weekend and they talk about the Bristol teams effectively, sort of.
Okay. Yeah. So, it's school, because I live around the corner from Ashton Gate. So all my friends support Bristol City. So that's, you know, that's all my football banter has always been with them, really. And it is, like, when you're young, it is strange, because, like, my rivals felt like them, not West Brom, not Birmingham. I don't know anyone who supports West Brom. I don't know anyone who supports Birmingham.
Yeah.
I do know a few Villa fans. But yeah, it was always like, you know, the banter at school and stuff was always with Bristol City fans. And we didn't actually play them very often when I was at school. I think 98 was the only time that we were in the same division. And obviously, everyone remembers the mascot fight. We beat them 6-1, so that was pretty good. No one wanted to talk about it at school after that. And they just wanted to talk about the mascots and the stuff. And I think we beat them 3-0 at home. It was annoying that, because I couldn't get tickets, even though I live around the corner. And So I just went down the park with my granddad playing football, like outside the ground, and all the fans started walking out well before the end, and I thought, oh, this must have gone well. couldn't believe it when I got home and it was 6-1. But yeah.
Yeah, it was, you're right. People forget the guy. I think did Connolly score 4? I think.
And it was Colin Lee's first game, I think, as caretaker. And he didn't. I think Robbie Keenan ball were on the bench, and we saw the team and thought, "Oh my God, what's he doing?" But yeah, Connolly scored 4. I can't remember who scored the other 2.
No.
But yeah, Bristol City took the lead as well, and yeah, we managed to get back and get 6 against them, which was great. I was probably so, like, everyone probably hated me at school the week after that. I probably went in such a big head, like.
So with the Bristol thing, is it kind of like side of the river type of thing, is it, in terms of, like, or is it just a family thing in terms of what side you fall on? Do you support, or?
Yeah, I think it's South Bristol is Bristol City, and North Bristol is Bristol Rovers, but... I mean, it is spread, but it's mostly north and south, I think, yeah.
And I've got to ask about, when we're talking about Bristol City, were you there for the Ryan Bennett game, as it was sort of christened?
Yeah.
That must be a highlight, I guess.
Well, so with the social media thing, you know, Bristol City did the goal gifts?
Yeah.
So about a month before, they beat Sheffield United or someone, and they scored in the last minute. They didn't deserve it, and they put out a stupid goal gift when they scored. And I thought, oh, that's ridiculous, that is. And then I thought, I'm going to make one in case if we beat them, I'm going to do it. And I ended up making 2 because I thought, I mean, I made one where I just put my middle finger up, and I made one just me cheering. And I thought I'll do the cheering one, but I'll do the middle finger one if it's like, if anything like that happens. And so I made it, and I was sitting on it for a month before. And then obviously when Danny Bart gets sent off in the like 15th minute or whatever, I'm thinking, oh, I'm not even going to get to use it now. And then we actually played really well. Like we should have took the lead after that, because Douglas hit the post with that free kick, didn't he? And the keeper didn't move.
Yes, and, you're right.
You know, and thinking, oh, that's probably our only chance. And then once we took the lead with 10 men, you just feel, you know, we didn't even have a striker on, did we? Because Bonatini was the one that went off, and you forget. But actually, Bennett didn't even start the game. Bennett come on for Bonatini.
Right. Yes, I remember now. Yeah.
And it was. You just thought, oh, that's it. And then we were only behind for about 9 minutes, but it felt like forever. And obviously we got the free kick. It was a crap free kick compared to the one in the first half, but it managed to go in. And I actually did the gif on the equaliser because I didn't think we were going to get a winner. So I just thought, I'm going to do it now. You know, my phone stopped working for a few hours after that. It was crazy.
I remember if I remember as well, it made me laugh because I think you obviously had a bit of attraction from Bristol fans who weren't aware of sort of where you were based, and I think they were trying to give you a bit of stick as well. Like, you know, you were like, yeah, I'll live around the corner.
Yeah. So I had a couple saying, well, at least I ain't got to go back to Wolverhampton tonight. And I was like, yeah, well, actually, I'm home already. I live in the corner. Yeah. I didn't tell any of my friends that I was going to do it. Like, I told Wolves fans that I was going to, I had it up my sleeve, but I didn't tell any of my City friends. And to be fair, they all took it really well. But you have got to be thick-skinned. There was obviously some people on social media where, you know, they just want to have a pop. But you know, I'm only doing it for a wind up, and you know, you've upset them if they get nasty. I can take on the chin.
I think that's the thing, and you know, I touched on social media at the start of the episode because I don't know, we can only speak for Wolves, can't we? So we're probably not exclusive in terms of sort of how the Wolves sort of social media looks, and particularly Twitter and different factions. And you know, one week people are having a go at super fans, one week, you know, there's been so much stuff. We get a lot of stick with what we do, and that's fine. I think if you put yourself out, you've got to take it as well. But it's interesting when things are going all right, it's there, but it's just that undercurrent, you know, people could be raising money for charity and they're lauded one week, and the next, You've got to, you know, there's probably a serious point to it, but you've got to have a thick skin, as you say. And I mean, we've only seen this week on a positive side. We mentioned Jimenez earlier, the campaign which the fans have led, which I think came from the fans' parliament, with the Jimenez banner. Time of recording, I don't know, I think that's up to about 15 grand or something ridiculous. And that just shows, doesn't it, really, that connectivity. So I guess, is that also important for you, being sort of based in Bristol, that kind of connects you to everyone else? Whereas you wouldn't have that sort of over the water cooler sort of, you know what I mean, work conversation, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, Twitter's been brilliant for me. Like I said, I got my first season ticket in 2009, I think it was. I used to just drive up, watch the game, drive back. And back then as well, when it wasn't so good, that was, you know, if we lost, that's your day then, isn't it? Like, you know, that's your trip ruined and everything like that. And I had Twitter, but probably like most people, when you first get it, you don't know what you're doing, do you? You follow people and don't really tweet yourself at first. You just follow celebrities. And then when I think it was about 2012, I started following a couple of Wolves fans. I can't even remember the first couple that I followed, really. And I don't know them or anything. I think I just searched WWFC and just followed a couple of people.
Yeah.
And they probably thought, why is this guy always replying to us? I don't know him. just because I needed, just wanted someone to talk to. And 2012 was probably a bad time to start doing it as well, because it was obviously Terry Connor was in charge, I think. So it was around then. But then in League One, I was doing a lot of the away games, where it's like, I think I did Carlisle. Well, I did Carlisle on the Tuesday night, and then I think we had Oldham on the following Saturday in the FA Cup. So I did that, and then we drew. So we had a replay at Molineux, and I think we had about 4,000 there. But we did. It's the one that all the other fans always love tweeting that picture, don't they?
Yes.
but anyway, I was going, and I was going to the game, and Russ Coburn messaged me before and said, fancy meeting us in the pub for a pint. And I thought, yeah, I might as well. So I met him for a pint, and then ever since then I've been going with that lot. You know, that group is quite a big group. We even got like a lad from Norway that comes sometimes, Olav. It's a big group, and that was great. Then once I had people to go with and go to the pub with before the game, go on away days with, stuff like that, it kind of, you know, the result does make or break your day when you go to football, but you can still go to football. You might get beat, but you can still have a good day if you're having a good time before and after in the pub. And it helps, actually, like getting, you know, sort of chewing the fat, doesn't it, even after a defeat.
You're right, mate. And I think, circumstances change, and there's a time when I'd be going home and away, and you know, you've probably had this experience where you meet people, you probably don't even know what they do for a living, or you don't know their middle name or whatever, but they're there and they're part of a group with you. And it's amazing, as you say, you know, games where, you know, you've drew 0-0 away somewhere, I don't know, Rotherham, Blackpool, wherever. And yeah, some really good times. And it's a strange one now, because let's take the current situation out of the equation. But let's talk currently as if we could go to the games. I found the fact that, you know, League One, Championship, I could get tickets quite quickly. A lot of us could. And then the last few years, and it's just kind of one of those things, it's a success thing, and it comes with territory that we didn't get as many people that could go to games so much, really, which is, you know, but that's just football, and that's success, isn't it? But
I
think, you know, we talk about this being stories from the pack and the pack, and I'm a firm believer in, you know, the fact that it bonds people together, different backgrounds, different nationalities, as you've said there. You know, we've been fortunate with Fancast. We've had a few people come over from America, for example, and you know, that's amazing, because what other avenue would you have that, really? And we've all got that common denominator, you know. And I guess, you know, your mates in that situation pick you up, and you know, when rather than have that solitary, you know, trip there.
I think as well, like it's part of the problem at the moment is when we do lose a game, and we're not, one thing is we're not used to losing anymore, are we? Like when we do lose, yeah. It's a big deal. You know, I remember like we lost to Arsenal at the end of last season, and everyone's like, we should be beating them. And it's like, hang on a minute. It's like, yeah, I thought we could win, but you know, it's still Arsenal. And at the moment, I think you do like, you sort of unload on Twitter, don't you, when with your frustrations and stuff, whereas you don't sit down and have a pint and talk about it after the game. It's all you've got really at the moment. And I think that's, you know, that's why there is, you know, the meltdown sometimes. And yeah, like I say, we're not used to losing in the moment.
No, and I think that's the thing. And it's, I see it in a couple of ways, you know. I think we should expect a lot from the team because they've proved that they're good. But yeah, sometimes you do have to get a bit of perspective. But I think you make a good point. I think what would be normally borne out on the coach or on the train, you know, is there. And it's that instant reaction. And
yeah,
some people do it for bites and entertainment, and that's fine. And sometimes it's just your genuine thoughts. And it's still fascinating how people can just see the same game completely differently as well.
Yeah. It's important to remember where we've come from, but a lot of people, there's also a lot of people that like, they think you can't criticise because of that as well. So, you know, I mean, Crawl is the one that always gets brought up, and it's always Crawl, you know, we were losing to Crawley a few years ago, but like, you've got to judge the players on how good they are now. Like, Gian Martino don't care that we lost to Crawley. He's a winner and he wants to play in Europe. So we've got to sort of judge them on that standard, but it's the level-headed people aren't normally the ones that speak loudest, are they? That's the trouble.
Sorry, Jace, but yeah, you're right. It's kind of the controversial characters, and I try and find my way sometimes in the middle of it. But yeah, it's all good fun. I mean, you touched there in terms of sort of now, and we've not always had it so good. Talk to me about sort of memorable games over the years, being sort of, is there a particularly low point watching Wolves? You mentioned obviously you came in on the Hoddle era, and then I guess you started to get involved with McCarthy, and then was there any point where you thought, why am I taking, you know, why am I getting in the car and coming down from Bristol, or, you know?
I don't know. I mean, when the low point for me, my first like heartbreak, whatever, was the Crystal Palace playoffs. I can't remember the Bolton playoffs, and thankfully, when we the Crystal Palace was the first one, but obviously that was the one TV there. I think the lowest point, I think, was, I was going to say Brighton away, but it was probably the week before when we lost to Burnley. Because you knew we were down then, and it got nasty at the end as well. People going on the pitch and all that, and I thought like, when Saunders took over, he started really poorly, and you thought, we're going to go down. And then we got a few wins, and a couple of weeks before the end of the season, I think we beat Hull on a Tuesday night, 1-0, and they were at the top, weren't they? And you thought, we could do this. And then that was, I think that was our last win of the season. Unfortunately, Ebanks Blake broke his leg, didn't he, at Blues? And I think that kind of killed the season, really, because he was getting all the goals at the end of the season. But yeah, like, when I remember just going, because I got that game was Brighton was a 12 o'clock kickoff or something. It was so I'd been up super early to get there, like it's 4 hours on the train from here. And I remember getting on that was a long train home, really long train home that night. And you know, I remember Newcastle fans on the train asking me what it was like to be relegated to League One. And you know, League One was great on it, really. It was after two years of, you know, I mean, it was 4 years of not winning much, but it was, you know, 2 years of just constant disappointment, and it was great. And especially after Christmas when we signed Dicko, we were superb after that. You know, way too good for the league, and yeah, that was really good. That was a great season. But yeah, disappointment. The West Brom game, obviously, the 5-1 was horrific, and then Wembley last year, 2 years ago, you know, that was felt sick after that. But I did manage to get over that one a lot quicker than when we blew promotion in 2002 and you know, and the West Brom 5-1, just because I think we beat Arsenal 2 weeks later and actually thought, actually, you know, we could get in Europe here. And because we qualified for Europe, for me, that kind of was redemption. The fact it was Man City in the final as well made it a lot easier to stomach. Yeah. I reckon their name was on the cut that year because they deserved to lose to Swansea. They had a really dodgy decision. They were 2-0 down against Swansea. They had a really dodgy decision that gave them a penalty and it got them through. And all their draw throughout the whole competition was so simple. We know we can match Man City on our day, but I still think their name was on the cup that year. So, yeah.
It's a nice consolation to have. It gives you comfort.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you're probably right. But it was a strange one because I don't know. Yes, I felt sick like everybody else did. But I think the difference for me, and I've said this before, so apologies for anyone that's heard this before, but it was a different feeling to your promotion slip-ups and, you know, bottling it to the Albion because it just felt like we'll be back again. Whereas, yeah. I think, you know, the other games, it was kind of like, shit, are we going to be able to come back from this? Whereas I think the Watford game, yes, in the context of where we were within the game.
Yeah, and I was thinking, that was the thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I remember just sitting there thinking, oh, yeah, get tickets final and all that, yeah, and come back. But afterwards, I was like, okay, if we are to be as good as we expect us to be, then this won't be the last time that we get seen at Wembley, and then COVID hit, and then we can't. But you never know. You know, there might still be time. And what about sort of highlights there? You mentioned the Bristol City game. Any other games that sort of stand out, be it on the pitch or off the pitch, that you look fondly of?
I mean, the playoff final obviously was a great day. I didn't manage to get tickets. We beat Newcastle 3-2 that season as well in the cup, didn't we? That was that was probably at the time the best result we'd ever got in my lifetime. So those two are the ones that stand out. But in terms of being in the game, the Man United FA Cup game was the atmosphere that night, and you know when Jota's goal went in, it was wild. It was like where I sit. I'm in the South Bank, but it's not that rowdy around me. And it was like, it was like being in a way end when that goal went in, there was people on the floor. I think I ended up in a different row, and I don't sit with any of my friends. I only know the people around me because I've sat by them for so many years, but yeah, it was crazy. And that was a great night.
And in terms of players down the year, so, you know, your debut, Bulling and Goodman, and then, you know, to the current day, what sort of players stand out either now or in the past year?
Yeah, well, Jota was my favourite player until the summer. I just love the way, like, I don't know, just the way he plays. Like, he's not the best player. He is obviously a great player and one of the best players I've seen play for us. But it was just the way about him. I used to love him, like, in the Championship, everyone used to kick him. And you'd think, like, you know, Portuguese player coming over, quite small, get kicked. But he'd get back up and, you know, he'd run at them again, wouldn't he? He'd go and nutmeg them and get them sent off if they kicked him and things like that. I used to love that about him. I remember I think it was Leeds when a player kicked him up in the air and got a yellow card. And then I think Jota, literally, they kicked, took a free kick and he just went straight back at him and got him sent off. And he got two yellow cards quite close together, I think. And but I mean, Jimenez, in the last two and a bit years, he's been superb. I think he's, you know, when we signed him, I don't think many people thought he'd actually be our first choice. I think we all thought we'd go for someone else. But he's always been known as a super sub, hasn't he, before he came to Wolves. And I just remember his first day at Everton, he was just absolutely superb before and just kicked on from there, really. And when him and Jota got moved up front as a two, that first season they were so good. We were so hard to beat. I love all the players at the moment. You know, Cody, Dama. I'm quite defensive. I'm really defensive about any players we've handled. And you know, the amount of times I found myself arguing on Twitter about Bonatini, just because I know he's not good enough, but his 10 goals massively helped us get promotion. And, you know, he played his part. And so, yeah, I'm, you know, anyone who's part of this journey at the moment, I love, really.
I think that's the thing, though. I think there's going to be a connection. There's nobody really within this era. And, you know, I've said this before, you know, in terms of if we go on again to be even more successful, there'll be players that will always look, you know, we'll look fondly at, you know.
Yeah.
Players like, you know, we went to Ryan Bennett earlier, and I wasn't always his biggest fan, but I was wrong, really, because he was a player who time and time again kept coming back. He was out the side, back in the side. A player again who we thought was probably just propping up the squad and then went on to do great, you know, and evolution, you're going to then get, you know, replacements and people are going to move on. But I think there'll always be, you know, that sort of fondness. And I kind of, I don't know, is it kind of when Man City was starting to do well, then their sort of first crop of players, I think there's a connection, isn't there, with this group, I think.
Yeah, definitely is. And, you know, like you say with Bennett, I mean, I think we all probably, that's what I thought, but he made the odd dodgy pass, but he never really let us down defensively. You know, a couple of goals were his fault, but it wasn't, you know, he was solid enough, and, you know, he played a massive part. He played pretty much the whole promotion season, didn't he? And then our first season back, and he didn't make many mistakes. I can think of the, you know, the one at Watford away, but we won the game anyway. But yeah, he was a good player for us. He was great signing for free. I wish him well.
Brilliant. And then in terms of just finally, with the series being, you know, named Stories from the Pack, what does it mean to you? I think you've touched on it already, but just in summary, what does it mean to you to be a Wolves fan and to be part of the Pack?
That's such a big part of my life, really. I mean, I literally work, spend my money, but budget my money all around following Wolves, really. So it is, you know, it is a huge part of my life, really. And yeah, I don't know, it's so much better now that I've got, like, friends as well. Like, I do feel like part of the pack, if you know what I mean. Like, I did when, before I knew anyone who supported Wolves, I was just like sort of a Wolves fan that just go to games and go home and whatnot. It's, you know, I don't know, really. It's, I just love it. It's just a huge part of my life.
I think that's the thing, really. And it's just part, like you say, it's just part of you being. And it's kind of, you know, and as you say, it's being connected. It's being connected to friends. And it's why I'm chatting to you now. And then it's why I do what we do, because we love it. And you know, it's it's special to us, and it's not unique to any football fan, but it's kind of our thing and our team, really. And I think, you know, in these times when we're not physically there, it's kind of just, it's just good to reminisce as we've done there. Yeah. And I know we could keep talking, but I think at that point, it's just really for me to say thanks for coming on. If you want to follow Jason on Twitter, I'm sure you all do anyway, but if you want to, it's at Jason J. 1987. From me and from Jason, thank you for all your support with the Fancast. As I mentioned at the start of the podcast, we've got so much content out there. If you like what we do, then please like and subscribe us on YouTube and follow us on all the channels, and we'll see you soon.
Escape your everyday with out-of-this-world action. From the gritty apocalypse of the Walking Dead universe to the cyberpunk realm of The Watch and the criminal underbelly of Gangs of London, AMC Plus is more than entertaining. It's epic. Feel all the chills and thrills with Shudder's Halfway to Halloween month. Experience Shudder's biggest month of horror featuring a new season of Creepshow and new movie premieres every week, all available ad-free and on demand. Start your free trial today at amcplus.com.